That all day.
Okay. So we started on Friday. In addition to a long halachic discussion. But we did the first Mishnah, which talked about shaving on Chol HaMoed. So we talked about shaving on Chol HaMoed, why the Hachamim were gozer, that it was asur to shave on Chol HaMoed, and in what situations could a person potentially shave. We talked about all that in the first Mishnah. Keeping with the same theme is basically a similar idea in Mishnah Bet, which is doing laundry on Chol HaMoed, similar decree, where the rabbis looked at doing laundry for two reasons. A, they said, number one, if a person is allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, he might not launder his clothes before the holiday starts. He'll wait to do it, and then he'll come in to the holiday without freshly laundered clothing, which is not kavod or respect for the holiday. We want the person to come in looking his best and wearing his best kind of clothes. So that was one issue, the minuval issue, which is similar to the giluach, which is similar to the shaving idea. And the second thing was that in those times, doing laundry was a very labor-intensive action, something that you needed to do. You didn't have washing machines in your backyard that you just threw in and turned on the button and it was done for you. You had to take your laundry down. So there are some tshuvot that wrote about potentially allowing it because you have the washing machine today. Although Hacham Uvadiah was strictly against it. He said once the Hachamim made the gezerah, you can't overturn the gezerah. Similar to what we saw by the shaving, even though contextually shaving would not make any sense today to forbid on Chol HaMoed because people shave daily, although not everybody, right? But you have the ability. Many people are on, once the rabbis make a decree, that's it. You can't overturn it, even if contextually it doesn't fit anymore. Let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us a few exceptions to the rule, similar to what we saw by shaving. Ve'elu on Mishnah 2. Ve'elu mechabesim ba'moed. The following can do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Haba mimidinat hayam. Someone who comes from a far off place. He was traveling for business and he travels back home on Chol HaMoed. So he can do laundry. Umibet ha-shivya. Someone who was held and in captivity. Ve'hayotze mibet ha-asurim. Someone who was released from prison. Ve'hamenudeh shehitiru lo hachamim. Someone who made a neder, a vow not to do laundry, and now he wants to have the neder undone, and he could not find any hacham. He could not find any person who is knowledgeable in the laws of nedarim to be able to annul his vow that he made until Chol HaMoed, and now he wants to annul it. So too, someone who did have an opportunity right before the holiday to ask a hacham to annul his vow, and he annulled it, but did not have enough time to perform to launder his clothing. So all of these are examples of people who their circumstances dictated that they were unable to launder their clothing from before the holiday, and out of their circumstances, they weren't being lazy or negligent, they weren't specifically waiting to the holiday to do it, and so therefore it becomes mutar for them to launder their clothing on Chol HaMoed. Any questions on that? Now the next few are examples of things that anybody can launder on Chol HaMoed. So mitpehot hayadayim, hand towels, umitpehot ha-saparim, or the barber's cloak, the one that he puts around the neck of somebody when he's giving him a haircut. Umitpehot ha-sefag. Mitpehot ha-sefag are the towels that are used in the bathhouse that are often need to be laundered, or like at a mikveh or something, that need to be laundered very frequently because they get dirty consistently. We can add on to this, many of the poskim add on things that are similar, like undergarments, underwear and t-shirts that a person wears close to their body, and because they sweat a lot, they change them frequently. Some people change them multiple times a day, and they constantly need to be laundered. So those are also things which the halakha will permit a person to be able to launder. So your suits and things like that, no, but things that need to be consistently cleaned. Socks might be another example that don't require a tremendous amount of laundry of effort, so those things would be allowed.
Oh, that's
the barber one. The barber has to give. He's not.
So the barber one is guys. Right. So the barber one's an interesting question.
He doesn't even cut hair, really.
The barber one's an interesting question because you can't really get a haircut, right?
What's great is the act is permissible. The act of washing the clothing is permissible. You can wash hand towels.
You mean it's not like Shabbat?
The act is permissible,
right?
So your wife throws in a pair of your shirt that it's not permissible, right? At the same time, what's the harm? It was permissible. The act is permissible.
But the act is not permissible. The rabbi is forbidden.
She's saying you're allowed to do your underwear. Why can't I throw them on? Is he? Be clear. You're saying you're throwing in your underwear. You're saying you're throwing in your underwear.
What she's doing,
right?
All of a sudden you say, you know what? The shirt.
So you're saying if you're doing a wash of things that are permissible, can you add in something which is not permissible?
Correct.
Okay, good. That's a different question. I did not understand the question he was asking. Yes.
But you weren't clear. He wasn't clear on your question.
No, I thought he was asking in general. No. I thought you were asking if the act is permissible with underwear, what's the difference between something else? That's why I understood the question.
You need your Nine Nations things to understand what I'm saying. But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Throwing it in anyway. What's the deal?
Right. So there are some modern day poskim that because of the invent of the washing machine. Again, we're not talking about situations of washing machine over here. Every extra garment required another level of labor. Right. You had to stick it in. You had to soak it. Everything was no such thing as just I'll throw it in. Everything was another burden. Today, with the invent of the washing machine, so there are some poskim who say you can't even use the washing machine. Once the decree is made, you can't do it. Others are a little bit more lenient to say, once you have these things that are allowed, if you're just adding something in and it's not such a big deal and you're doing it against the other things, that also might be permissible. Chaim Ovadia is strict even in that case because he says it's very likely that once a person starts getting accustomed to throwing in his other things, then he doesn't distinguish between the two and he starts just doing laundry in general. So you don't do it.
So how do we hope?
So I generally tell people to be strict on this issue. I mean, that's my perspective on it because that's what Chacham Ovadia says. So I tell people, you know, a little bit in advance, make sure that you get all your laundry done from before the holiday. Now the question is, what about Al Yedei Goy? If you're doing it and have a housekeeper who wants to do it. Well, once something is still Asur for you, it becomes Asur for you to tell a non-Jew to do it.
Let me ask you
now,
this.
If they come in and they, do, if let's say you have a routine that the non-Jew does, that they come in and they just do laundry and you know, so I generally tell my wife to tell the housekeeper, don't let them do laundry.
Well, tell them don't.
So really, what is it, 2-3 days plus the holiday comes out? Okay, you're going to have to do a nice wash after the holiday's over. For me, it's not such a big deal. And you can do the other stuff. Baby's clothes, we said you could do because those get soiled consistently. So it really comes down to adult clothes that are not undergarments, you can't do. Right? So, I mean, other things you can do. It really comes down to a few items. So those are the things that I thought of. But I will say, there was a rabbi.
But you can wear fresh clothes.
You can wear freshly laundered clothes, fine. For sure. If you laundered them from before, you just can't do the act of laundry then. Okay. Now,
a shirt like this is not considered undergarment?
No.
If you're saying it's something that you wear.
A t-shirt with it.
But you're going out.
The idea of the undergarments is it's something that you wear, you change consistently.
Socks, underwear, and a t-shirt.
It doesn't seem like that would necessarily fit into that. Although you could make it something of the case. It's an interesting
question. Let's say the guy who does the laundry picks it up from your house on Friday. That's fine. You know, the guy comes once a week to do like
a dry cleaning.
The dry cleaning guy comes on a Friday. That's Chol HaMoed.
Right, so that's the same thing. That's the same thing when it comes to... Right, so that's the same thing, like similar to Shabbat, right? If the guy comes and picks it up Friday...
He's doing it that day. I know for sure.
Let's say Miran's saying, I want to give it to him so that when the holiday's over, then let's say sometimes the holiday ends on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. Now, next day later, it's Shabbat. I'm not going to get
but
enough
you
time.
So he wants to give it to him and let him. Stuff, even
yes, you could wear you could wear freshly laundered. Of course, you want to wear freshly laundered.
No. So I'm saying let's say Friday's Chol HaMoed and the cleaners picks it up.
Right.
And his drop off is Monday.
And Monday is what? Yom Tov.
Now you have a fresh suit, but you know he did it on Pesach or Sukkot.
So again, that goes back to a different question now of, am I allowed to give the non-Jew something for him to do where I know he's going to do the melacha on the holiday?
No,
that's not a holiday.
You don't know if he did it on the holiday.
Why? He may have done it on Chol
HaMoed.
Right. So, but I know that whatever I'm wearing at that time
was done on either Yom Tov.
The question was, would I have been okay? Did I force him to give it back to me by Monday, or would I have been? Let's say he came back on Wednesday, and would you have been okay with that? Right?
Yeah.
So you didn't instruct him. Yeah. So you didn't again, so that's the idea. I didn't instruct him to do it on Chol HaMoed. And I didn't instruct him to do it on the holiday. The fact that he did it early was because he wanted to finish with it and he wanted to bring it back.
No, that's my system.
Okay,
I know he's coming back.
But what's going on in the non-Jew's mind? In his mind, he wants to finish with this as quickly as possible so he can get it back to you and you get paid and he can take the next thing. So he's working adata denefshe. He's working on his own. So then that's not a problem. Right, that does not become a problem, and we could even make the claim that once he gives it to you, you could wear it even on the holiday because he may have done it from before. He may have done it on Chol HaMoed. So you could wear freshly laundered clothing. We want to wear freshly laundered clothing. The whole idea here is don't do laundry so that you'll do it before, so that you will wear freshly laundered clothing. That's the whole concept. That's
but going this is not
here.
A big deal.
Huh? I don't think it's as big a deal as people make to it.
We have 100 pence. Who cares?
I don't think that it's as big a deal as people make it. But I do think that...
Everybody, the laundry is piling up.
Grace would move out.
Yeah, so it's like after vacation, the laundry's a mess.
Right. So it does... It does get a little... Okay, so there is one thing. There is one thing that... This is why I stopped a few years ago giving this as a halakha.
I'm saying it's not much for a person to wear.
Right.
Well, it's easy because we have many pairs. It's a pain in the butt for the G to do the laundry afterwards.
Right. So I used to give this before a few years ago, I used to give this as a halakha when we were doing like the Chol HaMoed halachot. I used to tell people, you have to tell them that suit to do laundry, tell the housekeeper not to do the laundry, don't do this, these are you can and cannot do. A few years ago, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, Rabbi Meir Mazuz, one of the head Sephardi rabbis who lived in Bnei Brak, he's the Yeshivat Kisera Hamim, right after the holiday of Sukkot, he put out a tshuva where he said, because of the washing machines, it's mutar to do laundry. He disagreed with Hacham Ovadia. This was after Hacham Ovadia had passed away. He wrote in the tshuva, I'm only writing this because Hacham Ovadia passed away. I would never argue with him during his lifetime. I'm only arguing afterwards. And he put it out after the holiday of Sukkot because he said, I don't know how many people I want to rely on him. It's like an act of humility. It's like, I don't know how many people I want to rely on. But because of that tshuva, I stopped giving this as a public halakha because rather than put people in a situation where they have to avoid it, I said, okay, if anybody's avoiding it because they knew the halakha, they follow Chol HaMoed, great. But if they be mahmir, but if they're using the laundry machine, especially Al Yedei Goy, especially thing, let them do it. And I don't even give the halakha anymore because whatever they do, they do. They will have a basis to rely on. But you're understanding where it's sort of coming from.
You were saying that you're mahmir on this, and then you tell your housekeeper don't do laundry.
They never listen, but we do. We don't.
So whoever has a housekeeper or whatever. They're probably in a routine where you're not telling them what to do.
And they don't want to save it for the end.
They just know to pick up the laundry to do it anyway. You're certainly not telling them to do the laundry.
And they want to do it because they don't want it to pile up.
So
in that case, if it's a routine and they're doing it, you're not telling them.
The only difference there is, there's one small difference, and the same would go, let's say, for Shabbat, right? Let's say I can give my clothes to the cleaners, and then if he does it on Shabbat, he does it on Shabbat. But if my housekeeper comes into my house on Saturday, and on her own puts stuff into the laundry, it's a big problem.
Why? Even if you don't know.
Because why? There's a ma'it ayin issue. They're doing it in your house.
Okay.
So when they're doing it in your house, people are seeing, hey, look, Izzy's got the smoke coming out of the thing.
It's in the house.
You can see. There's smoke coming out. The laundry's doing the thing, whatever it is. It makes noise. There's a concept of marita ayin. You cannot allow a non-Jew to do a melacha, which is deoraita, in your own home. For you, and that becomes a big problem. That becomes an issue. You have no idea how many times you had to tell
them. If it's not asur, then who cares about Matzah?
Shabbat.
But you're not telling them.
Doesn't matter. They're doing an act which on its own is asur, right?
But why is it asur if she's doing it on her own?
She's doing it in my house. That's Matzah Ayin.
I understand, but if it's not asur, who cares about Matzah Ayin?
It is asur. Laundering clothing on Shabbat is asur.
But I don't tell her to do it. She's doing it on her own.
The act that she is doing for you, had you been doing it, is forbidden on Shabbat. Right? So now she's doing it. They don't know who's doing it. If she's doing it in your house for you, that becomes a suit. You can't avoid it.
Exactly.
It's like having a person build your home, a construction or something like that.
What if you don't have Jim Lynch in the winter? And then a couple lines are going to give you a whole...
Yeah, no.
Jim Lynch in the winter.
Jim Lynch in the winter. No, it doesn't matter. Once something is in your house, it becomes a suit. It's straight up asur. Yeah, that's it. The next few lines talk about people who have tum'ah issues, which doesn't so much apply to us today. So we'll just go through it. Hazavin vehazavot vehanidot vehaliodot. People who are zav and zavot. Zav and zav. What? Zav doesn't apply today anymore. What? These people are people who are tameh, and therefore the clothing that they wear becomes tameh. So they need to launder. They need to dip their clothing in a mikveh. They have to purify their clothing. They have to purify their clothing. So, and part of the purification process is washing and laundering the clothing. Mm-hmm. So zavin v'zavot, a woman or man who's a zav. Zav is someone who has some kind of an emission from their body, which makes them to be impure. It's a different kind of emission. It's not a seminal emission. It's another kind that's considered like a disease, which doesn't exist anymore today. And so it's a tum'ah. Nida is a woman who is in a state of nida, is menstruating, and yoldot is a woman who gave birth. So all of these examples are people who their bodies are impure, and therefore any clothing that they wear becomes impure. So if they want to purify their clothing, they have to do a purification process that we don't have today. They launder it, but they dip it in a mikveh. There's like a whole thing. So those things now, they were once tameh, and let's say they became purified on Chol HaMoed. So now they want to purify their clothes so that they could wear them. Mm. So that says, V'chol ha'olim mitum'a l'tahara, anybody who goes from impurity to purity, hare elu mutarim. They're allowed to launder their clothing because they were time sensitive. They weren't able to do it from before, and now they want to purify their clothing on Chol HaMoed. They're going to be mutar. Ush'ar kol adam asurim. But all other people are forbidden to launder
today's
their clothing.
Today's women that are nida, their clothes don't get impure.
It doesn't matter for us anymore today. We don't go through their purification process because we don't deal with things that are tum'a. And tahara. We're not going to the Beit HaMikdash. We don't eat korbanot or anything. So it's inconsequential. It's inconsequential to us today, essentially.
Right,
is really the issue. There's no sin. Well, I mean, there's levels of tahara, things like that, but we don't pay attention to the tum'ah of the clothing. There is a concept.
Are we tameh always? Is what he said.
Living outside of Eretz Yisrael makes you tameh. There's tum'at Eretz Ha'amin. But that doesn't mean, like, for example, some people ask, if that's the case, why can't a Kohen go to a cemetery? I'm tameh anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? Doesn't matter. You still can't add actively any tum'at onto you. So that's still something that's forbidden, even though we're all in a state of some kind of tum'ah, right? Mm. And there is, you go to mikveh, you still get a certain level of tahara. So we just don't deal with these things as much because we don't deal with purity and impurity in our daily lives. There is one concept of nida that could be something, which is that sometimes women, when they're in their state of nida, have to wear clean clothing to determine if they ever stain or anything like that. So if that should be should be necessity, let's say a woman has to clean her clothing because she wants to wear it so that it's clean from stains to determine if she stains, then that could be permissible in that kind of situation. That would be something that usually women have there is a concept of women designating specific clothes to wear during their time of nida that they don't wear when they're pure. So there is that concept. Some people differentiate that. Not everybody does, but some people do. Yeah. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen v'amen. I think we'll...
Okay. Enough.